Sung that for about 30 years, but I absolutely love it. And I'm not surprised anybody under 30 has never heard it before. It's really great to be here. I'm encouraged just to see your faces. You know, you can encourage your brothers and sisters in Christ just by turning up to church, just by being present. And it's a great encouragement for Maura and I to be with you today. We're going to look at the word encouragement through one particular person in the Bible. And some of you will already know who that's going to be because it was his nickname. Who am I talking about? Barney. Yeah. Now, look, if I'm getting to be really boring, I'm only going to speak for about 10 minutes. But on the back, there are some crayons Alison's put out and some worksheets with some colouring on the back. I do have a chocolate orange here. For somebody that manages to find the most number of words. So we've got like encouragement. Chris, not you. Chocolate oranges are great because as soon as you open them, you know they're for sharing because they fall into fragments. And there's a couple of Barnabas stories on the back there too. And if you can fill in the missing words, even better. Let me put that down. See me at the end of the service if you want the orange. Encouragement. I'm going to flick up a picture, a photo, which I want you to look at. What can you tell me about this picture? They're Ethiopian runners. Not all of them, but the front three are. Who's normally behind the, if not in front, just behind the Ethiopians? Kenyans. There's also an Eritrean in the picture. What else can you tell me about that photo? It's quite a meaningful one to me.
They're together.
They're grouped together.
They're helping each other win.
They swapped the wreath. They took the wind. Look at the next picture, and because what you've just said is spot on, and I was gobsmacked because when I used to run at school, I stuff everybody else. I was just there focusing myself on winning myself. But this was something new, and this is at the highest level. Do you know which Olympics this was? We've just been there, if you were listening tomorrow. Yeah, Beijing. This is Beijing. I think it was 2008. And I was watching this with about 60 million Ethiopians on Ethiopian TV. We went all in the same room, don't worry, across the country and with my family. We were gobsmacked at what we were seeing because they were doing exactly what you said. They were running as a group. They were encouraged. Look, this is Kananisa Bakele is turning with a smile on his face, for goodness sakes. This is the 10,000 meters. Imagine the stress on his body. And he's encouraging Gebrehaile Selassie and Seleshi Sehene. There they are. And if you look at the next picture, it was glory, glory, Ethiopia. You can imagine the whole country went ballistic. They won the gold and the silver, but would you tell from that picture who won the gold and the silver? No, it was just a group thing. They were there encouraging each other, running together, winning medals for Ethiopia. Which of them won and which of them didn't seem to matter. One of those guys finished just outside the medal places, and I think it was an Eritrean came in. So as I watched it, I was just amazed at the importance of and the power of encouragement, keeping those Kenyans at bay. We all need encouragement, don't we? As Alison's already said. And if we go to the next slide, there's a think bubble. I want you to think. In your Christian life, when have you been most encouraged? Just think through some of the incidents. Maybe it was something that happened. Or maybe it was something that somebody said that encouraged you. Just think about some of them and thank the Lord for them. I bet that a lot of the things you're thinking about are when somebody spoke a word of encouragement or just by their presence encouraged you in your Christian life. Because as Alison said, the opposite is there. And the next slide reminds us what the opposite can be like. And I did a word search to see how many times the word discourage or discourager or discouragement comes, and it's there in the bottom of the screen, 18. The Christian life is an R-rated movie. 18. The Bible is completely explicit and unashamedly honest about the fact that the Christian life can be very discouraging at times, or in it, we can be discouraged at times. So let's not pretend. Let's not pretend we're never discouraged. We are. Now I want you to think, when have you been the most discouraged? What has discouraged you? Because the Bible is honest about discouragement. Maybe a time of spiritual dryness, or a time of family problems, or perhaps a time of sickness yourself or somebody else, or just tiredness. Maybe tiredness in the work, or perhaps a period of doubt. We all face discouragement, which is why the positive, next slide, encouragement, is just so important. So if it's 18 times the Bible says discourage or discouragement, how many times is it? Does it say encourage, encourager, encouragement? And the answer is a joyful 66. So, as an aid to memory, if the Christian life is an R-rated movie, 18, Route 66, the way to glory. All right? 66 times, that's a lot more than 18, the Bible talks of encourage, encouragement, encouragers, encourager. That is hugely, hugely significant. In the Bible, when we get a repeated word, it's important. So let's stand up and take notice. Now, I said we're going to think about it through a person. Sometimes it's easier to think by looking at somebody and seeing what they do, what it means. So what does it mean to encourage and be an encourager? Let's look at Barnabas. And we're going to look at six incidents in his life as the book of Acts tells us about him. The writer, of course, is Luke. And Luke is very careful about how he arranges his stories and what he tells us about different people at different times. The first thing he tells us about Barnabas, you don't need to look it up, it will come up on the screen, is that Barnabas was a giving sort of chap. Acts 4 says this, Joseph, that was his other name, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, that was his nickname, not a bad one, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. So what do we learn about Barnabas here? The first time Luke mentions him, we learn that he was from Cyprus. Anybody been to Cyprus? Thought so. That he was a Levite, so we know specifically that he was Jewish and also from the Levite tribe, which is quite interesting. That he had a nickname. I got a nickname, it's Baldy, nothing like as good as his, son of encouragement, and that he was a giver. He sold, what, a pair of shoes? No, a field. Now, that was a big deal for Jewish people, to sell their birthright, their inheritance. I don't know where the field was it on Cyprus, or was it in his homeland, his historic Levite clan land? If so, that's hugely significant, and he gave it up, brought all the money. We know it's all the money, because you just go to the next chapter and you read about people where they didn't bring all the money. He brought all the money and he gave it to the church. What else do you think he might have given? Here we read he was a giver of land and money. Are we going to read that he gave his time, his effort and his presence? Of course we are. The next little snippet we get is in chapter 9. And here we find that he's not only giving, but he's supporting. He's a supporting type of chap. He backs the new convert, Saul, who becomes Paul. He's just become a Christian, but nobody believes him. Remember his reputation? He was the persecutor of the church. And after he becomes a Christian, he tries to come to Jerusalem and talk to the apostles. We know you. We know you're the persecutor of the church, and they wouldn't have anything to do with him. Who was it that brought him in? It was Barnabas. Acts 9 says this, when he, Saul, came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. What did he do? He took, he brought, and he told. If he hadn't have done that, would the Apostle Paul have ever been accepted? You wouldn't have a very big New Testament, would you? Barnabas took, brought, and told. He brought a huge blessing to the whole church. The third thing we read about him was that he was an embracing sort of chap. He was giving, he was supporting, he was backing, and he was embracing. Now, this happens a bit later in chapter 11, and there's a new thing going on. Until now, all the Christians have been mainly Jewish, and the church is Jewish. But in a place called Antioch, suddenly people started preaching to Greeks and all kinds of different Gentiles, and there was an issue. What are we going to do about church? We've got Jews, we've got Gentiles. So what do? They send their best man or woman. In this case, they send Barnabas down to see what's going on. And what does he do? News of this reached the church in Jerusalem. That's all the people becoming Christians from other religions and other cultures. And they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived, what did he do? Let's see. He saw what the grace of God had done. He was glad. And he encouraged them to do what? To remain true to the Lord with what? With all their hearts. And then a description, because Luke obviously really loves this guy. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. How many people were impacted? And a great number of people were brought to the Lord. What does Barnabas do here? He sees, he rejoices. He's sensitive to the Spirit and he's led by the Spirit. He encourages them to serve the Lord with all their hearts. Many people are affected. The next thing we learn about him was he was no flash in a pan. He was enduring. And this is the same passage, the next few verses. Listen for how long Barnabas serves them. It wasn't a week, little quick mission trip and off you go. Not Barnabas. Then Barnabas did what? He went to Tarsus to look for Saul. We haven't heard much about Saul since his conversion. Where is he? Doesn't seem to be in ministry. Barnabas looks for him. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. And the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. They didn't know what to call them. They couldn't call them Jews. They couldn't call them Greek pagans. So they had to come up with a new nickname. It was Christians. We still use that name today. What did Barnabas do? He went to find Saul. He brought him into ministry and he ministered alongside him for a whole year. That's dedication. Teaching these new converts. They didn't know the Old Testament scriptures. Teaching them from scratch. That's Barnabas. The fifth thing we learn about him is that he's an accompanying sort of chap. He doesn't mind playing second fiddle. And in Acts 13, we get the first missionary journey. Who gets sent? Well, now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, as we know. Paul and Barnabas are the teachers and prophets. We get some other names here, Simeon, Lucius, and Manian. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they'd fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and they sent them off. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to, first place they went, Barnabas' hometown, Cyprus. We know that Paul was the main guy. He was the main speaker. You're not going to read any sermons from Barnabas in the book of Acts. It doesn't seem to say very much at all. I don't even know if we have any of his words recorded. He wasn't a speaky type of guy. He was an accompanier. It's really lovely, isn't it? And supportive and encouraging to have somebody by your side accompanying you. Imagine what that meant for the Apostle Paul as he was called to preach and speak. Just your presence as a Christian can be a great encouragement to others. We're just going to pick one more. There are more from Barnabas, and you can go away and study him some more. But the last one is in chapter 15 of Acts, where Paul and Barnabas have a bit of a disagreement about somebody who lets them down. His name is John Mark, and he's part of the missionary journey. But he flakes it. There's something goes wrong, and he says, I can't do with this, boys. I'm off. I'm out of here. And he just gives up on the mission. Well, from what we know about Paul, you can imagine how he took to that. He wasn't very happy at all. And he was ready just to write him off and move on. I get what Paul was saying. The task is important. We can't be faffing around with people who aren't up to it. I get that. And maybe he was right in a way. He stayed focused on the mission. What did Barnabas do? Acts 15. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let's go back and visit the believers in all these towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they're doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, Mark, with them, but Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for where? Cyprus. And there he restored him to faith and usefulness, whereas Paul had written him off. We get Mark's gospel because of that. So not only have you got all St. Paul's letters because of Barnabas, you got Mark's gospel because Barnabas thought it was worthwhile sticking with this guy and restoring him to faith and usefulness. And we don't hear that Paul and Barnabas patched it up, but I think they probably did. Because of the type of chap that Barnabas was. So my question for you as we finish is, what about you? We know all about Barnabas. What about you? And what about me? Are you the kind of person that needs more encouragement or likes to give encouragement? What kinds of things have you got that you can offer as encouragements to other individuals, but also to the whole church? I've mentioned already, just your presence. Being here on time and worshipping with a whole heart, which is what we've been enjoying from each other today. Money, land, time, energy, help, resources. What about looking for, bringing? What about backing and supporting? What about accompanying? What about enduring and persevering? What about teaching God's word? Just allow the Holy Spirit to show you what you can do to encourage others. Our memory verse was 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. And it starts with the word, therefore, but we won't have it on the screen just yet. Therefore means that something went before. It's verse 11. What's in chapter 5, verse 1 to 10? Anybody know off the top of your head? What does this therefore refer to? Second coming. Chapter 5, verse 1 to 10 is all about the second coming of Christ. Remember that finish line? The race thing that we were looking at the beginning with the Ethiopian runners. So if we just bring up the verse and then the final picture, that will remind all of us that although it's hard work being a Christian at times, there is a finish line. And I want to just finish by encouraging all of you. Jesus has promised to prepare a wonderful place for us and that he wants to take you and me to be with him there. The Bible says that should be our chief encouragement, that we're saved in Christ and we have a heavenly home in Christ. So we're going to finish with the words of Christ in John 14, where he talks about that finishing line, that heavenly home. And just enjoy the thought that he's saying that to you today. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you also may be where I am. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending Jesus, that he saved us, and for the encouragement of that heavenly home to which we can with full confidence set our sights and our hopes. And as we're encouraged by that finishing line, help us to turn our faces to each other, to our co-runners, and to encourage them with whatever we've got at our disposal. In Christ's wonderful name, amen.